best is your voice. So don't let someone else decide for you.
Oh, and a pair of those crouching stone lions, they'd look great either side of your front door.
Do I know you?
That's our new trainee. He's very keen.
Make sure you're registered to vote. Go to checktheregister.ie and be a voter so that it's your voice that's heard. From Am Comisiún Toghcháin, Ireland's independent electoral commission.
And would you like that for delivery?
Yeah. Apartment 3, 6th floor.
Oh, you're going to need a crane for those lions then.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Welcome back to Tip Today, making reference to that letter to dear Phil about the fussy eaters and the poor mother having to cook different dinners every night. Eamon says, as Brendan Grace would say, we had another incentive to eat. It was called hunger. Simple as that. Another listener saying, hunger is a great sauce. That's in from Jimmy, who's in Thurles today as well. So lots of people interacting with those letters for dear Phil. By the way, if you have an issue that you'd like us to chat to Phil about, all you have to do is email us, if you can at all, and that's tiptoday@tipfm.com. If you put Dear Phil in the subject line, we'll know what you're at. Now, our vouchers for Shoe for You in Clonmel, the €50 voucher today going to Helen Anderson, and of course I didn't get to mention the one yesterday. The winner was Ger Hall, and we'll have another one for you tomorrow on the programme. Can I say a very, very happy birthday to a lovely lady, great friend of mine, Kathleen Madden, is celebrating a birthday today, but I won't give away the age, Kathleen, but I hope you have a lovely time. It was great to meet you in Temple Tuhi over the weekend as well.
The Conspiracy Files on Tip Today.
She has more conspiracies under her rockster, and Ellie is with me. Morning, Ellie.
Morning, Fran.
What is it today, Ellie?
Well, we're going to talk about cloud seeding and weather manipulation. And this is in light of what happened in Dubai last week. If anyone saw the footage from Dubai, it was absolutely sensational what happened. The city hadn't witnessed a natural disaster of that magnitude since records began. And the destruction it left behind only became apparent after the storm cleared. Now, just to give the background on this, if anyone was unaware of what happened, the United Arab Emirates, of which Dubai is a part of, saw its heaviest rainfall in at least 75 years. And that was after a year's worth of precipitation in just 24 hours. Wow. So life for many in the glitzy tourism and financial hub came to an absolute halt. Emergency services were working around the clock. There were no deaths in the city reported, although a 70-year-old man died after flooding swept away his vehicle in a neighbouring emirate. So the chaos that ensued was short-lived, but it showed the city's vulnerability to natural disasters. Runways went underwater, as we saw in many videos. Flights were cancelled. There was a lot of videos as well from malls in the Emirates as well. They were soaked with rain seeping through ceilings, and elevators stopped functioning in skyscrapers.
And these are all high-end buildings.
Luxury.
And,
yeah. These and are very the real well deal. Built. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, no expense spared at all in these. Also, a lot of motorists who were stranded on roads as well, they were unable to come home, so they had to sleep in their cars due to blocked roads. Other cars just completely swept away. Now, the images were shocking for such a high-tech city. A lot of money, of course, gone into building Dubai. And of course, a leading international tourism destination as well, and boasting world-class infrastructure. So some were very surprised to see it give in so easily to a natural disaster. And rain itself, I mean, it's scarce in the Persian Gulf, and urban planning probably doesn't account for the possibility of major storms either. But the deluge that we saw sparked speculation about cloud seeding, and that man's attempts to manipulate the weather have finally gone against us. And what was strange about it, there were some kind of overhead camera videos of the storm coming in, and you could see it closing in and the darkness descended. And then once the storm hit, the air just went green. Completely green, a very dark green.
And this is a video that's up, is it?
There's a number of videos up showing the approach of the storm and then when it hit in Dubai as well.
Now, well, what is cloud seeding?
So cloud seeding, it isn't a conspiracy at all, because it's widely done in these drier countries to prevent drought. And the UAE themselves, they haven't been secretive about it. They've been very open about the fact that they embark on cloud seeding for many years. So Omar Ali Asidi, he's with the National Centre of Meteorology, and he explains how it works.
By nature, you know, sometimes it rains, for example, only 40 to 50% of its rain that processed in the cloud that comes as rainfall. So by these operations, we try to increase this amount by, for example, from 15 to 30%.
So how does it work? It starts here, inside the National Center of Meteorology, where a team is constantly monitoring forecasts, looking for potential clouds to seed. The operations only work with cumulus clouds, which are vertical in shape.
Research flight operation, can you read me?
Once they spot a cloud, they radio the pilots, who then take to the air armed with hydroscopic flares filled with a mixture of potassium chloride, sodium chloride, magnesium, and other materials. It's essentially salt. When the plane reaches the right clouds, the pilots release the flares.
These salts basically attract the moisture and try to make it condense. So it become these particles becomes nuclei of condensation. And then when these droplets condense and then they hit each other, and then they form a bigger droplet that the air cannot hold it any longer in the air. So it forms as rain.
Wow. So did this play a part in the deluge?
Well, it depends who you believe. Officials in the UAE and in Dubai say they were not doing any cloud seeding operations on that day or the days preceding it. But it is a common practice there, as I said. In 2017, for example, there were 242 documented cloud seeding operations undertaken by officials there. Now, they deny that the recent flooding was as a result of cloud seeding. They simply say it was just a meteorological phenomenon, that it was three storm cells that merged together, and that's what caused this unusual event. But people, of course, have looked at flight logs in the run-up to the event, and they found that one aircraft that's widely associated with seeding was actually out over the area in the days preceding the storm. So it is possible that cloud seeding did add to it, although officially that's being very strongly denied. But it does, I suppose, raise the wider question of, is the human manipulation of weather a common occurrence? Because I think this would be very new to us. We probably aren't aware that it's being done at all, if at all. But there are claims that the US was actually using weather manipulation as far back as the 1930s. And if you're familiar with the St. Louis Arch, that was completed, St. Louis Arch, beg your pardon, that was completed in 1965. It's a magnificent piece of stainless steel structure. It stands about 630 feet tall and at the time was the largest man-made structure in the Northern Hemisphere. It was created by Finnish-American architect Eero Saarinen as a monument to westward expansion of the US. But now rumour has spread about its real purpose, and some people believe that it was actually built to control Midwestern weather patterns.
Go on.
So it's nicknamed the Arch Effect, and there is some science behind it. A line of storms will move toward downtown St. Louis only to weaken at the last moment before re-strengthening east of the city, and it nearly always will spare the city from destruction. So it's a very odd phenomenon.
And is there some magnetic element to it?
That's what they wonder. And Mike Barra is author of The Triangle, and he says that manipulating weather is something that a lot of countries are interested in and have actually spent a lot of money investigating.
Controlling the weather is the ultimate super weapon. It's even more powerful than the atomic bomb. So if Eero Saarinen was involved in analyzing and studying the possibility of weather modification, and you put all those factors together, and I think you have a guy that basically conducted a big, giant weather modification experiment with the St. Louis Arch.
Weather as a weapon? There are some who think the idea is not as preposterous as it seems. Especially when considering that even today, many world governments are pouring millions of dollars into research designed to manipulate weather.
I think weather modification has definitely been an ongoing endeavor of governments all over the world for decades. St. Louis Arch appears to be an experiment in weather modification. The HAARP device appears to be an experiment in weather modification. Who knows what the Russians or the Chinese are doing? There's some sort of technology out there.
Well, so a harp device.
Yeah, so a harp.
What's harp?
Harp would really be at the centre of all conspiracy theories when it comes to weather manipulation. It's the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Programme, or HARP. It's a scientific endeavour aimed at studying the properties and behaviour of the ionosphere. So the ionosphere stretches roughly 50 to 400 miles above the Earth's surface. So it's right at the edge of space. So along with the neutral upper atmosphere, the ionosphere forms the boundary between the Earth's lower atmosphere, where we live and breathe, and the vacuum of space. So operation of the research facility was transferred from the US Air Force to the University of Alaska in 2015. So that allowed HARP to continue with the exploration of the ionosphere via a land use cooperative research and development agreement. So HARP essentially is the world's most capable high power, high frequency transmitter for study of the ionosphere. But they've also been accused of testing the boundary of their research. They've been accused of causing the devastating earthquake in Haiti in 2010 that killed more than 220,000 people. They've also been accused of the 2013 Oklahoma tornado, a 2006 landslide in the Philippines, and also they're accused of being behind the earthquake and tsunami in Japan of 2011. So HARP is a huge industry, and also because it's deemed a private company, it doesn't really come under any government scrutiny, so it's very difficult to get real information on what exactly that they're researching. But I read a really interesting book. I mean, if anyone believes that nothing major can happen in the ionosphere, there's a book called One Second Later. It's a few years old now, but it details what could happen to the world if a nuclear weapon is deployed or ignited in the ionosphere. Because what it would do is it would completely kill all electric infrastructure in whatever area that is over a large scale. So let's say you have a poorer country who's at war. They only maybe have one nuclear device. So instead of hitting one city and really limiting the damage that they can do in a country, we'll say if they target America, they look at deploying deploying a nuclear device in Washington, they'll only really hit Washington. But if they deploy that device in the ionosphere over America, they will knock out all electrical infrastructure across the entire United States of America, which is way more devastating. So it is a huge threat.
Isn't it just? And is anybody, I mean, if HARP is responsible for wildfires and some of those extreme weather events, does that put pay to like climate change? And
I mean, this is it. This is, and we were talking about it this morning, people being blamed for climate change. But if you look at what potentially is being done in terms of weather manipulation and the research and studies that HARP are conducting in the ionosphere, you would imagine that that is having a much bigger impact on climate change than burning turf is ever going to have.
We're adding our own conspiracies.
Absolutely, but you'd wonder. But you mentioned wildfires there, yes. And they're also accused of being behind wildfires as well. Of course, we've had a huge increase in those, and of course, climate change as well being blamed for those. But it could form part of a dark agenda, depending on who you talk to. Journalist MJ Benaya explained some of the theories online about the spread of wildfires.
According to internet conspiracy theories, there's a secret government program known as Agenda 21, the purpose of which is to force people to relocate into major cities. And then, as the conspiracy theory goes, the government can then exercise more control over the population.
And how is this allegedly being accomplished? Forest fires and laser guns.
The theory is that the U.S. government was using direct energy weapons to purposefully start these forest fires to clear out towns or for some other nefarious reason.
Wow.
So you'll remember then last year's devastating fires in Hawaii that completely devastated that nation. But that quickly caught the attention of conspiracy theorists because it was mostly the poorer areas that were completely decimated, while those in wealthier areas seemed to be largely unaffected. So Oprah Winfrey and The Rock would be famous residents in Maui. And that theory of trying to burn the poor out of Hawaii wasn't helped, of course, by the fact that Oprah, very quickly after the fires, even though she did put in a lot of money to helping the aid recovery and all of that, she also very, I think, kind of secretly bought up a large swathe of land in Maui after the fires at a knockdown price. Now, you might just say it's bad luck and that the buildings maybe in the poorer areas were of a poorer standard. But this very strange new theory also emerged about the blue roof. Now, theorists maintain that the lasers that were used to start wildfires don't actually work on the colour blue, and that those who were in the know at the time about what was going to happen had painted their roofs blue in the weeks preceding the fire. But conspiracy theorists on this have been accused of cherry-picking pictures of the devastation to further this claim, even though there's no hard evidence of it. So Bill Evans then, he's a meteorologist, and he said that while manipulation of weather might be a new focus for the governments engaged in warfare, he warns that it could prove detrimental for all of us.
There's been lots of work in the field of weather control, using silver iodide inside of thunderstorms to decrease the size of hail. That goes on in many parts of the world to alleviate that problem. They're always firing rockets into the atmosphere in China to manipulate the weather. But is this a good idea? These are forces at work that could wipe out major cities. And we're finding out every day new things that we've never seen before. So maybe the lesson learned here is we shouldn't meddle with forces that we don't really understand, because we may not like the result.
We shouldn't meddle with forces we don't understand.
Or we won't like the result.
Yes, but it really, the possibility is turning weather into a weapon of war.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, we could go into that in another episode. I mean, what the CIA did in the 40s and 50s in terms of, you have the Philadelphia experiment where they tried to make a large ship disappear, yeah, which they were largely successful in. They were also training goats as well to kill people. I mean, some of the things that they embarked in, people wouldn't believe, but we now know they actually did happen. So it might form part of another program as well. It would be very interesting. But it's no surprise that they're now using weather, because as one of the speakers said, Mike DeBarra, it can be a very useful weapon in war.
Hilda was on to say, Hilda's in Ardfinnan, she says, Fran, my two daughters had just left Dubai a couple of hours before that deluge started. Thank God they got out. And Brian says, there's little or no rainwater drainage systems in Dubai. That's why the problem was exacerbated. Of course, they weren't expecting these extremes.
No, they don't expect that kind of rain, especially in that time period, 24 hours, a year's worth of rain. I mean, I don't think any society really would be ready for that kind of a deluge.
Interesting, isn't it? You're heading for a village tomorrow. Where are you going?
Going to Silver Mines, tomorrow, north of the county. So looking forward to that. So if anyone's around in the area, we'd love to see you. Everyone's always welcome.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Fran.
We'll take a break, back with more in just a moment.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.